Father, I thank and praise you for this day that now that you've given to us and for the time that we can gather together like this and just learn about you, learn about your word and some of the teachings of it. The teachings here of the family that we're going over, we just ask, Father, you give us the wisdom that we need. You would give us the strength. We need you today, Father, and we need your help, Father, to help us with the lesson here today. We ask that your spirit would just enlighten us and show us here, Father, as we talk about the different aspects of your word and the different things of it. And you would just show us what's right from your word there, Father, and some of the different things that we're going over here, Father, that we could learn and apply it to our lives. We ask that you would do that. We ask you would be at the service to follow. And Father, if someone comes that's not saved, they would get saved and that your spirit would take full control of the pastor and his message that he has for us here, Father, that we could just be open to you and learn more about you. We thank you, Father, for it. Guide us now throughout this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. We've been going over some different aspects here, men, of training your children. And this was just in the lesson. This is why I'm just going over this right now. And I'm just touching on it because when we do get to the children, there's going to be a lot more to talk about. But just some of the things for you to help your family out. The family, it's like branches on a tree. We all grow in different directions, yet our roots remain as one. So there's a saying, if you want, you know, for the family itself. But anyhow, we're going over training your children in a Christian home. And we went over the first thing here was the spiritual training, and there's worship and service involved in that. That, if you remember, that we talked about last week. The family that prays together stays together, and the family that serves together stays together too also. So the next thing here that we started, and we just started it, the second thing here is character training. And we read in Proverbs 17, 21, he that begetteth a fool doth into his sorrow, and a father of a fool hath no joy. And also Proverbs 29, 15, I read, the rod of reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And as we started to talk there about that a little bit, we said the first thing here was under the character training, set rules. You set rules for the children. Those of you who already brought your children up, you know a little bit here, I believe, what I'm talking about. You know, you have to have rules in the family. You have to have some rules that they, and they, you got to start someplace, so you start, you know, giving them maybe one or two rules. And you train them with that. You enforce them. You got to. Enforce it to them. You got to keep, giving it to them and having a penalty for disobedience. And when your child masters these rules, then, you know, reward them for good behavior. And then you add some more rules to it. This is bringing the character out in them. You know, we talked a little bit about the character and things. And what was that you told me going home the other day that should be? I can't remember what that was. Yes, praising them. When you reward them, also praise them. They need to be praised. That uplifts them. You know, a lot of people you'll see take their little children, you know, if they start to crawl, they clap, yay, you did a good job, you know, or if they start to walk, yay, you know, you're praising them. Same way as they grow up, you know, praise them as they're growing up. You know, that's teaching them. That's giving them character. They're seeing that mom and dad, they're going to respect you more later on in life because they know they'll think back and think, you know, they'll see that, hey, mom and dad did praise me. You know, they helped me out, you know, in these different aspects of that. So reward it, you know, praise them. But if they don't, I mean, you know, don't be afraid to, give them penalties, you know, for the disobedience. They have to be penalized too. But then you show that love towards them, you know, by praising them. Okay, so here's where we're going to start now today is with the character training here. Give your children responsibilities around the house. Reward faithfulness and punish laziness. You need to teach them how to do it. Don't expect them just to do it, what you show them. I have a job. I've never seen a bunch of guys that are supposed to be quote-unquote white hats and supervisors, bosses, and things like that, that just give you something and they just expect you to know it. I have gone with a couple of them with some rounds already, because the one's dumber than a stick and I don't even know why he's a white hat. But, you know, we were working last summer over in Bellefonte, and we had to do we had to take out the patches of concrete and re-concrete the patches because they were broken up. And they gave me the job and responsibility, which was the first thing to do before they did anything, was once they took the patch out, I had to drill it. You know, we had to drill holes. And then Chad and a couple other guys came behind, and they would glue pins in these holes. But you had to have the measurements right. Whenever you went at the center of the road, you had to have the measurements right, because they put them 1 foot apart. And they just told me, you measure here, you know, and that's it. That's all they told me. And so I'm doing okay. And then, you know, I always look ahead when I'm trying to do something. And I seen where the guy that was running the backhoe that had the drill on, he was setting it in place for me. And it was rough for him to see that measurement. So I seen where the measurement was. If I would give him a foot measurement, he could set his thing right where he loved it. He said it was so easy for him. And that's what I try to do. I try to make an easy job for myself and for them. Well, we're doing great till we get down to Lykins Market down there. And we get down there to Lykins Market, and they cut it out. They cut it out. The guy that cut it out, he cut too far, and he cut into the pavement. And the pavement, right, at that particular time, the way they cut it, it looked like concrete. And so I measured it out, and here they came by after I drilled the first set of holes. They came by and said, well, that's pavement there. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I was off a foot. I was actually off 6 inches is what I was off, 6 inches. And the guy that was the white hat there, this is the guy I'm talking about that's dumber than a stick. They come up to me, and they're starting to get on my case about this. I said, whoa, 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 you stop right there. And then I proceeded to tell the head cheese there about this, and I pointed the finger right at it. I said, right there's the boy that needs to be teaching this and showing us what we're supposed to be doing. I said, he's the head of it, not me. They left it go. They told me just to go where to go to mark it out. And then he goes down the road and marks it. I said, I already know what I'm supposed to do now. I said, I blowed it. So, you know. But anyhow, you got to be teachable. You got to teach them how to do it. Listen, how many of you get you get an animal, a dog, you know, and you want to teach them? James Dobson says a little bit about this. He said he got a dog, and he wanted the dog to sit. First of all, he's trying to get it to sit, and then he wanted it to kind of stand, you know, and beg a little bit. But he said, you can't just take a dog and expect them to sit. You tell them to sit, and what do? You know what they do. They don't sit. They don't listen. You've got to teach them how to do it. And then just like we were talking about, reward them when they do it. You know, give them something, a little snack or something like that there. And that's what you do. And it's the same way with teaching children. You got to teach them how to do it. Now, they're not animals, but, you know, it's still in the same process here. You teach them how to do it. They got to be taught how to do it. Pam's dad, he's long gone now, but he taught her how to wash dishes. I love this. I mean, I wished I'd have been there. I'd have just poked fun at her and stuff, you know. But he taught her how to wash dishes. She would wash the dishes, and she thought she'd be done. He says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. So he would go and check all the dishes that she washed. If he found one that was dirty or a dirty spot on it, she'd done them all over again, all of them. See, he was teaching her how to wash dishes. And I'll bet you, she doesn't say it, but I'll bet you to this day when she goes up to that sink to wash dishes, she remembers what Dad taught her. I'll bet you. Because it's just something you got to do. You got to teach them. You know, that's you give them the responsibilities around the house, you've got to teach them to do it first. Teach them to take out the garbage. You know, you show them how to take out the garbage, where to put it, you know, and things like that there. And then you reward them for it. I taught my kids how to drive. Each one of them got, and Danny did the same thing, because we had the farm there, and we taught them how to drive. And they were driving when they were small. They were little. They were small. They weren't real big. They were driving vehicles. And the worst part about it was each one of them had their own vehicle. And they would be going boom, 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 boom all over the place all the time. And if the cows got out, guess what? They'd be chasing the cows in with their cars and stuff like that there, you know. So, you know, they were taught. My grandfather taught me how to drive. He taught me with his little tractor at first. But then he wanted me to drive his truck. Now, he had an old 49 Chevy truck, and it had a flatbed on it. It was a three-quarter ton. And he didn't tell me. He told me where the clutch was, which I knew about the clutch, you know, because the tractor had the clutch. I knew about the gear shift. I knew where the gears were. But he never told me about that you got to take your foot and you got to put it on the floor to keep it steady so that your gas pedal will be steady. Well, I put it on the gas pedal, and we went up the road where my dad lives up to the farm that day, the first time that he got me in there, and we went boom, 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 boom. We were going back and forth and then when you do that, you know, your momentum, you got your foot, the foot kept going, you know, on the gas pedal more and more. He just sat there. He didn't say a word. He just sat there, you know. But then finally when we got there, he told me, you know, you have to put your foot on the floor. Oh, okay. So from then on, it worked fine, you know. But he taught me. He showed me. He taught me a lot of things. You have to teach them how to do it. It's just, that's the principle of this here. If you give them a responsibility, you teach them how to do it. It's just some of them things that you have to do. You got to teach them. Remember, it's not what you expect, E-X-P-E-C-T, but it's what you inspect, I-N-S-P-E-C-T, that will be done under good character, has been developed in good work habits ingrained. See, you're ingraining that into them. Them work habits. You're giving them responsibilities. And you ingrain them work habits. I was taught when I was younger, never stand around. Find something to do. Even if it's grab a broom and sweep a floor or something like that. A lot of you have been taught that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it that ingrains that habit into you. Kids today, I know what it's like at our workforce. I don't know about you guys that's out here in the other workforce, but kids today, they will stand there and twiddle their thumbs until you tell them what to do. They're not being taught. You've got to teach them, you see. You've got to teach them how to do it. And when you're giving them responsibilities of the house, you know, you got to teach them how to do it. Questions or comments on that? And you two back there can't. There's no comments from either one of you. So, okay. They thought they were going to embarrass me this morning, and I said I'd embarrass them. So, and anyhow.
Tell them how you taught me to drive
stick shift. Me, I did that.
I did think about that, and I forgot about it. Glad you brought that up. See, I taught my wife. She wanted to learn. When we first got married, she wanted a car with standard shift. So, she had this stupid. Car. What was that? An Austin American. Now, Pastor, you know what that is, I'm sure. Not really. It's a roller skate is what it is. It's an overgrown roller skate. No, it's an Austin American. It was like Fiat made it. Austin American. And I said, we are getting rid of this piece of junk. I am not. Well, if we get something, she didn't want to get something, but she didn't want to get rid of it. But I said, we're getting rid of it. And she said, well, I want something standard shift. I said, you can't drive it. Well, I'll learn. I said, okay, I'll teach you. So we went out and we bought a Dodge Colt with a standard shift in it. So we got home. I took her out. And I said, okay, now here's what you do. And I showed her. Okay. So we got home. I said, there you go. Get going. She said, what? She said, what? I said, get going. Go learn. You have the weekend to learn because you got to drive in State College on Monday. Get going. So her and my sister went out, and they went down to the Paradise Road down there, and it must have been a ball, according to what you talked to my sister about it. But, you know, she started getting pretty, she got pretty decent with it till it came to Monday. But, you know, I didn't tell her what to do whenever you go up hills at a red light and you got to stop. So I guess this must have been pretty interesting because at her work, she had to go up this hill and stop at a red light. And she was hoping it would be green, but it wasn't. So she sat there, and I guess it must have stalled about 100 times till she finally got out on the road, you know, till she got it going. But then I showed her how to slip the clutch, you know, a little bit so that she could take off a little easier. So she caught on to it. And to this day now, I mean, yeah, I sounded like it was a little mean, but, you know, that's the best teacher sometimes, you know, is just letting them learn it themselves. Because to this day, there's not too many women around can drive standard shift like she can. I'm telling you. I will give her that. She knows how to drive a standard shift. And if she wants, you know, if we had bought another car and she wanted standard shift, and we got it, you know, because she can drive it. So there's no problem with it. Dan, you said the other night, you said something about, what did you have a Pinto? Yeah. Well, Cindy had a Pinto, too, and hers was standard shift. And Danny used to always, he hated that car because you sit clear down on the road, you know, when you're driving them things, you know, and stuff. But, yeah, you know, teaching, you know, you can teach, you can be taught these things. You can show these things, you know, to them. Somebody must have, Pastor, you must have taught Elizabeth how to drive standard or something. Somebody did, because I told her to take my car home, but she couldn't get it in reverse, and I showed her how to do it, and then she was fine, but she drove it, you know, to her house. So somebody taught her how to do it. So, you know, that's good. Teach, it's not just peaches and cream all the time, people. You know, teach the children these different things. You know, standard shift, let them learn how to drive standard shift. That way if they get into something, a pickle or something like that, where they have to drive it, they know how to do it. You know, I taught all my kids to drive standard shift. Now my daughter, she's a little like her mother. When she gets something set in her head that she can't do it, you know, and don't want to do it, she don't do it. But she can drive standard. I got her to drive standard. She can drive standard, but she wants an automatic. She wants an automatic, you know, so. So, but anyhow, you know, teach your children, but they all know how to, they all knew how to drive standard shift and things like that. And this next one goes right along with this here, okay? Giving your children responsibilities around the house, supervise your children. That's the next thing. You have to supervise them. Character is formed by habit. And it's a constant thing. It's a habit. It's a habit. It's a habit. You know, you keep going over and over and over. You know, and that's what brings good character, you know. But you have to be a supervisor of it. See, I supervised my wife when I was teaching her how to drive standard shift. I told her, I showed her how to do it, and I said, now go do it. You see, I was a good supervisor. But anyhow, you have to do supervise your children. You know, that's one of the things. You have to supervise your children. You're building character in them when you're supervising them. You set these rules for them. You know, you have to make sure that they're doing it. You know, I know a lot of times, I know what it's like. You get yourself busy, and, you know, you get yourself busy, and you tell them to do something, and then you forget. You know, you've taught them how to do it, but you forget to bring it up. The incident I thought about was Chad. I taught him when he was younger, in teenage years, to change oil in a vehicle. Okay, so I took him to work with me one day, you know, where I was working down in Milheim, and I said, we got a couple cars around here. Just change the oil in them for us, you know. And I said, here's the filters, here's the oil, you know. And we had one of these here that we had oil. It was in 55-gallon barrels. Now, I told him, I say, okay, this car here takes 5 quart. So, you know, no problem. But what happens was he didn't realize, and I forgot about it. I wasn't doing my job at supervising. He had a 2-quart container, and you would fill this up 2 quarts, and you would dump. You had a spout on it. You put it in, and you had this little thing on it. You open it up, and boy, it would fill it right in. Well, he put 5 of them in. And I, like I said, I wasn't supervising him. And then I said, now, did you check it to make sure it was full? He checked it, and he pulled the dipstick out, and he brings it to me. He says, I said, what in the world did you do? You know, he said, well, I put 5 quart in it, Dad. I said, wait a minute. You put 5 of them in. Yeah, I said, see what that says there on the side? 2 quart. I wasn't supervising that at that particular time. So we had to do was just drain 5 quart out of it, and we were fine. But, you know, you have to supervise them, you know, whenever. You teach them how to do it, and you tell them what to do. You expect them to do it, but still you need to supervise them for it. A lot of jobs out here that you go to, you have a supervisor, and that's what his job and responsibility is, to supervise you to see if you're doing the job the right way and things like that. And this forms character, you know. It's good habits come from character. Good habits come from close supervision, you know. Know what your children are doing and with whom they're doing it at all times. You know, if you give your children something to do, make sure that they're doing it, you know. Or are they out goofing off with somebody else, with a brother or sister or something like that? Or did they run over to the neighbors or whatever, you know. You got to supervise them. You got to have close supervision with them. You know, it's forming the habit. Listen, okay, go ahead.
How old was Chad when he took you to work?
I don't know if he was even a teenager yet. You know.
He's old enough to understand two court. I mean, on court.
Yeah. To look on it. He should have. You know. And I just, that was one of them. You know, just like I said, that them guys at where I work at. You know, it was one of them dumb things where I just thought he would see that, you know, and I wasn't even expecting him to, you know, to see that. But yeah, there's no problem with it. Oh, and I was thinking about, you know, little Ben jumping on the skidder, you know, and things like that there, you know, and starting it and stuff when you're not around, you know. he's learning, but he needs a little supervision. But you know that. But I tell you what though, someday you go out there and tell him to jump on that skidder, he'll know how to start it though now. So he will, definitely. You know, that's the thing. You know, they pick up them things. You're surprised what a child will pick up. You know, by you just showing them just some small things. You know, and Chad would hang around the garage a lot. He would pump up his tires on his bicycle, and he would blow the tires out because he would put too much air in them. And I would tell him time and time again, it's like his mother locking her keys in the car. Time and time again, and I finally told her, I'm not coming after you anymore. You guys heard that story the other night. I'm not coming after her anymore. So, you know, she'd get the cops to do it then when she would do that. She finally, it got into her head, pull your keys and put them in your pocket whenever you get out of the car, and you don't have to worry about that. But anyhow, sometimes, you know, it takes a while, you know, for things like that there. So, but anyhow, you know, it's what I was going to say was I was thinking about how do you learn Scripture? Something simple. How do you learn Scripture? Repetition, going over it and over it and over it. And finally, what happens? You can say it and you think, wow, I can do it. You know, and then you keep doing that though. You know, you don't have to do it all the time, but you keep going over them verses. You know, it's a habit that you get into. And that's what you have to do with kids. You got to, it's a habit you get into. It's a repetition of them doing it over and over and over. And finally, it'll sink in, you know, and you've built character into them by doing that. Okay, so character training is setting rules for your children. Give your children responsibilities around the house and supervise your children. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Now, this next one here is we trained our children in a, this was training your children in a Christian home. Now, what I'm about to teach you here, this was in the lesson, but when I say this, I'm also talking about, you know, you who homeschool. It's train your children in a Christian school. And it's the same principles as training or teaching them or homeschooling, you know. So don't get upset just because I'm talking about, that I talk about here, Christian school. Training them in a Christian school. It's something that's scriptural, you know, teaching them and training them. And it doesn't matter if it's in a Christian school or if it's in if it's homeschool training. We did both. We had them in Christian school, and we also trained them at home. We homeschooled them. So, you know, we did both. We know exactly what it's like to do both of them, you know, and to go through it. And, yes, sometimes training them at home, you know, teaching them at home and stuff, you know, It gets monotonous. You got to do all these stupid things here at Penns Valley, especially that you have to fill out and things like that. And some of the different places that you go to, you don't have to do all these things. But training them in a Christian school or training them at home, you know, schooling them at home, homeschooling, they're both the same thing, and they both apply. and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 4, but 6 and 7 is the verses that I'm going to be on to here. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Now, verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And that is very, very important. Putting it into their heart, you know. And you having it into your heart. He says, and then in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, I had asked a few of the younger ones to give me a list of some of the things, some of the problems that they might be having, and some of the things that might help them through these lessons that I might be able to help them, to teach them. And there is one of the principles, people, of some of your questions that you had written down there that is the answer. Verse 7 is the answer to that, some of them questions. I'm not going to go over it or anything because I'm saving them for whenever we get to training the children. But that verse 7 is very important for you. It's constantly going over it and teaching them. But anyhow, it's scriptural. And training your children in a Christian school or homeschooling them is the same thing here. Now, I want to read some verses here first, and then I'm going to hit up on some of this here stuff. So, Pastor, would you go to Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20? Mrs. Codner, Deuteronomy 32, 46. Dan, would you go to Psalm 37, 31? And Cindy, would you go to Psalm 40, verse 8? Charles, would you go to Psalm 119, 11, and 97 and 98? 11, 97, and 98, that's Psalm 119. Elizabeth, would you go to Proverbs 2, 10 to 12? Mrs. Johnson, would you go to Proverbs 3, 1 to 3? Cindy, Isaiah 51, 7. Danny, Jeremiah 31, 33. And Pam, Colossians 3, 16. Okay? Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20.
"Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates."
Here's the key to all this, and you listen up on all these verses. First of all, it has to be established in your heart. Ben, what do you believe about the Bible?
It's the Word of God.
What else? Anything else?
Yes, sir. It's absolutely the guidebook for life from God, and that every word is true.
Okay, you believe that.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that in your heart? You believe that.
Yes, sir.
That's what you should be teaching your children. First of all, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, what are you teaching your children? What are you going to teach your children? Nothing. You got nothing to teach. What hope will they have? Nothing. See, you have to teach your children. You have to get it into your heart, and that's what that verse, the first part of that verse there that he read there said. You know, it has to be in thy heart. Listen up on the rest. A lot of these verses here. I'm watching. See what it says. Deuteronomy 32:46. See, they know it. Now they're to teach their children the law. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Psalm 37:31.
"The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide."
Psalm 40, verse 8.
"I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart."
Okay, Psalm 119:11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
And 97 and 98.
Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through my commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me.
Proverbs 2:10-12. See what it delivers you from? The evil man. That law that she just read there. That's what it's talking about. Keeping you from evil. And then teaching that to your children.
And you just got to wait for another time. Fine. But our two oldest girls just fight all the time. And they over a pencil. And, you know, and it's ridiculous. And you can give them, we're going through Proverbs. And you know Proverbs is full of just, you know, selfishness, pride, attitude. And you can come from a different angle every day. And they'll sit there and listen and they'll even have the right answers. But they don't get it. This is we've been going through Proverbs for, I don't know, months. Well, you know, it is the Word of God. And I know it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But what do you think they'd get some of?
They will. It's just girls. They're thick-headed. You just got to, you know. No. I had to say that because I got to get my wife somehow. She deserves it today. No. Yeah, no, they are. But still, you know, if you just keep at it, don't give up. See, that's what happens with a lot of people. A lot of parents, they give up on the kid, and then that's when they turn out to be. But you've got to continually keep it up. Go ahead.
You're sitting as judge all the time. Well, she did this, and she. I get sick of it. But also, I read a fellow that said, no, you got to be judge. You got to be able to at least try to read through a little bit of it. But I'm not there, though. So you're being judged, or how do you handle it? I mean, okay, you're both going to get punched here. I mean, that is all I can figure out sometimes.
And sometimes, you know, that's the best thing to do. Look at Solomon, you know, with his wisdom that he had with the two ladies that had the babies. The one died. Look what he said. Okay, we're just going to divide them. We're going to divide this alive baby in half. You're getting one half, you're getting the other half. The true mother said, no, don't do that to my baby. And then he knew. You know, so sometimes you got to be wise like that, you know, to pick out some. But there's times where I would say that you probably have to punish both of them to get to it. Come on, people, help me out here a little bit. Go ahead, Mrs. Codner.
There was a period of time my sister and I were fighting all the time. And when children fight, they get your attention and they want your attention.
Yeah.
And this is how my mom got us to quit fighting. When we started fighting, she'd call us, we would stand in front of her, and she'd say, okay, you want to fight? You start fighting. Hit. Eileen, hit Miriam. Hit harder. Miriam, hit Eileen. Hit harder. You want to fight? You fight. And I mean, she did that, and I think twice, and we quit fighting.
See? No, I believe that was wise. I honestly do, you know, because, you know, if you hit harder and she hits you back harder, you know, and once after a while, right? You know, it's got to sink in sooner or later. You know, I'm going to stop this, man. This hurts. You know, that's pain. I don't like it.
Gently punching him in the nose, he does something like that.
I don't know about that.
I'm kidding.
We still know. We don't know where to go with it.
It doesn't happen overnight.
It's not.
There's times it takes years.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
You know, don't get discouraged over it.
And it's like sibling, it's rivalry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I believe it's like Eileen said there, you know, they're wanting some attention too.
The boys will do it. When Jeremiah.
The boys do it.
Oh, yeah, boys will do it. Oh, yeah, because.
fighting over a piece of plate, where the plane would have been, if they didn't pick up that Tonka truck and hit any of the wood yet. And that settled that one.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes. I mean, we were brothers. My brother back here, you ask him, buddy. There was three of us in the house. Yeah. Yeah, you ask my mother's not around anymore. My dad, he couldn't remember right now. But I want to tell you what, they would let you know what it was like. I mean, there was times where it got into the fisticuffs too, buddy. You know, the fighting stuff, you know, and it was, you know, it wasn't good. But, I mean, them little switches that Dad had, that he would go out there and I'd get off the tree, ooh, they'd let welts. Aye, they would hurt. But after a while, it sunk in, you know. That kind of thing there sunk in. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah. Oh, yeah? No, don't give. Like I say, don't give up, Ben. You know, don't give up. It's a habit that you know you'll get. You're supervising them, you know, through this. You're building. You're going to build character into them, but you just got to keep it up. You know, you got to keep it up. It's children. They're going to fight. Believe me, all of us have gone through it. You know, I mean, what were you and your brother like? So you know, you have to look at it in that sense too, Pastor.
You know, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to have to continue. But I think it's part of the bonding process too between the siblings, and it's aggravating. It's frustrating now. Yes. But once they do finally grow out of it, I think you'll find just a tremendous bond between them.
No,
seriously.
Yeah,
some decade there will be hope.
I agree with that, you know. I mean, my brother and I, you know, we fought when we were younger and stuff. But today, he and I we're close. I don't care. We're close. And you better watch what you say about my brother, or you better, you know, in the same way, vice versa, I'm sure he's going to be. Because if you want to fight, you know, you'll get one. To this day yet, you know, because, you know, yeah, like I say, it's a bond. It is a bonding. I agree with that, you know. It bonds you. You know, together. It bonds them. So, you know, they'll stick up for one another.
One year when he was probably about 8 or 9, we sent him to church camp with another church. And Elizabeth was, I mean, not a perfect child, obviously. She fought with Sarah. She and Andy it was like fireworks. But she came home from that camp, and this normally peaceable girl picked a fight. And I was like, what is going on here? And I'm sure they taught her some good things at camp. I'm sure she learned some good things, but this is what she came home with. The preacher said that brothers and sisters who fight the most will be closest to one another.
Go ahead, Glenn.
You can train, but don't micromanage. Mm-hmm. Micromanage makes clones. It doesn't make independent human beings. Mm-hmm. Them kids, is just as you said in the beginning, are like branches on a tree. They're going to go different places and do different things that are not the same. You can train them all the same thing, but they're going to be their own human being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's God designed us all with one fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
No two humans are alike. Okay. With that in mind, there's a part of that they have to work out on their own. Part of the idea of raising up children, just like I see here in Scripture, God, and we do this as Christians, there's so many things in our lives that we are supposed to do, probably 90% of it. And we pray and ask God to do it for us. And God's saying, you already know what you've got to do. Just do it. That's, you have to figure it out. There is a part of that. And we tend as parents not to do that. We tend to want to correct them and make them do what we want them to do. And the reality is, they have to found with many instances in our kids, and they are all pretty close, there's times when you just have to back away and let them figure it out. And they will. And that will make them stronger for it. It'll make them independent, but I agree with what Eileen was saying. It will make them stronger, bonded together.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to give them their space. Just like you're taught to do a job, now go do it. If your boss stood there and watched you constantly and constantly corrected you, you'd either go crazy or punch him. I mean, really.
No, you're right. Exactly right.
Do nothing on your own.
Right.
Well, you the same way with children. You have to let them have experience. You said you did it with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. Well, you didn't have to sit there in the car with her. Well, same with your girls. Well, let them figure it out. They know what they got to do. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, just be there to make sure that they don't kill each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yep.
For what it's worth.
Yeah, no, good. All good answers here. Anybody else? Go ahead. Right.
But that will carry over onto other relationships too.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah, they do have to learn to stand up for themselves. You know, you got to learn to that. I mean, if for something that really can get under my hide and get me stirred up is a bully, somebody that is a bully, just you know, I think about it. We had a kid in our school where you know he. Just for any reason, he would just go up and punch somebody. Now, I thought, buddy, you ever come around me, I'm waiting for you. You know, I was prepared because I knew what I was going to do. A lot of them weren't prepared. And but that's what he needed. He needed somebody to knock his lights out. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but that's just what he needed, you know. And the same way when I was in the Army, in the service, we had some guys, you know, that was the same way. But I had myself a bedpost, and it was one of them metal ones that, you know, you stick together. I kept that at a certain spot at all times, and I thought, buddy, just come. You're going to get it. You know, I don't put up with, I don't like that, and I hate it. And you know, I'm not telling you to teach your kids to fight, but they do have to stand up for themselves. You've got to teach them to do that also. Go ahead. Yes.
When I was in eighth grade, there was a girl. She would pick on the ones that were timid and, you know, she was mean. She would hit them and stuff. And the teacher was out of the room. She was picking on this one girl, pushing her around. So I went up to her and gave her a good shove. And some other kids heard about it. So in math class, this boy was like, hey, I heard about this. Do you want to, you know, me to set up a fight for you after school? And he said, I don't care.
You didn't know your mother was like that, Amy, did you? Okay. This is what I like. You know, a good discussion about this because you know it does. You know, hopefully, just stick to it. You know, and take some of this advice. You know, and you know, use it. That's what this is all about. That's why you know that I'm going over this and why I'm doing that. So you know. You have to discern that for yourself, you know, how you want to handle it and stuff too. But, you know, don't give up. All I'm saying is don't give up. You don't give up. You got to keep at it, you know. There was one Nathan in my family that we just, it was a constant. We were after him constantly all the time. Well, he's leaving home. Well, pack your bags and go then, you know. I did that one day. I told him, I said, you know, it was to the point in his teenage years, you know, he came to the point where I had enough of it. And I said, go. I don't care what you do. That road leads either way down there. Pack your bags and go. I said, if you don't want to live by the rules and regulations here at this house, go find somebody else, you know. And so, but, you know, after that dare, he came to me and he apologized and he said, he got to thinking about it, you know, And he apologized and said, okay, you know. I'm not saying that that helps out for everybody, but that's just one incident where, you know, that it did me because I was fed up with it, and I told him, just go. Go do it. When he was younger, he did pack his bags, and he was walking down the road. He was joining the Amish. He walked down the road. He walked down the road. He was carrying his bag. He walked down the road. He walked around the property and back into the house. So he never did join the Amish. Okay, well, we got to stop right there. So we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up there next week. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us here this day. We just ask, Lord, that there would be something here that we could help Ben out here, Lord, and with the problems with bringing up children. I'm sure that there, if Corbin Nat would have been here too, Lord, if they wouldn't have this sickness and stuff, Lord, that they would have probably had some of the same questions. And, Lord, it's just part of bringing children up, and we've gone through it. And so, Lord, we just ask that we could help in any way here, Father. And, Lord, help them depend upon you, though, and upon your word here, Father, also to learn these different aspects of bringing up children. We thank and praise you for it now. In your name we pray. Amen.